calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Hey, this is Bayard Winthrop, founder of American Giant. I started this company because I was fed up with cheap clothes that didn't last and a system that shipped manufacturing overseas. We believed we could still make incredible hoodies, t-shirts, and pants right here in the U.S. with American cotton, American factories, and people earning real wages. That's what American Giant stands for, building clothes that actually last. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code GIANT20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code GIANT20 at American-Giant.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here we go, hour number two of the early line right here on the grid, Sirius XM channel 159. Mike Blewett and Donnie Wrightside continuing our rampage in Major League Baseball. A few key important games here dealing with records and teams just trying to win divisions and or just make the wild card. Let's start right now in Philadelphia, 909, 910, 715 first pitch live from Citizens Bank Ballpark. The Atlanta Braves taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. Max Fried will be on the mound, the left-handed pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, and Ranger Suarez, another lefty, on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies. Yesterday, a loss here to the Nationals for the Atlanta Braves, a late win by the Philadelphia Phillies over the Blue Jays in this one. This line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, Mike, a minus 156 price, and now we're seeing that one dip a little bit lower into the minus 140 range, particularly a minus 148. The total also from an 8 down to a 7.5. If we try to line this one up, Ranger Suarez, the left-handed pitcher for the Phillies, 4.77 xFIP over the past 30 days. So not great. Low strikeouts, a little bit too many walks, but he has dominated left-handed batters, which is what a lefty is supposed to do. Right-handed batters, though, slightly elevated with a weighted on-base percentage here of 351. In the lineup today, looks like you're going to get as many as 7 right-handed batters to counter him. Flip it over to the opposite side. Max Fried on the mound, 3.76 over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball with his xFIP numbers. And take a look at these splits here. A 184 weighted on base percentage to lefties, which is sensational. A 258 through 95 batters to right-handed batters, equally as sensational. Runs, playoffs, lower scoring, even though it is Citizens Bank Ballpark. I'm leaning on the under in this game here, Mike Blewett.
Yeah, you hit on the one point that I was going to as well. We like to talk about October baseball and how it's managed differently. Mm-hmm. We're at that point now. The Braves are a playoff team and managing to try to win the division, trying to win every game. The Phillies, no, they're in hot water. They are behind the Padres. They have 10 road games coming up, and they're playing. I mean, is there anybody hotter than the Braves over the last 2 months? Yeah, the Dodgers, tough. You know, the last 3 months. So these games are all going to be managed like playoff games. And we might see relievers used early in high leverage situations to try to get an extra W. And I think runs are going to be at a premium in games like this, even though it's still the regular season. This is a playoff game, regardless of what time of year it is on the calendar. That's where we're at right now. And I think managers will start to manage it like it's October.
Yeah, Phillies go on the road to take on the Nationals and the Cubs, which, again, it's still road games against bad baseball teams. The one thing that they might catch a little bit of an advantage on, though, late in the last three-game series, which is at Houston, and if Houston had a lot to play at that point, they might have been in trouble, but probably more setting up their starting pitching rotation and getting some rest. So the Phillies might actually benefit from playing one of the better teams in baseball over the final 3 days of the season. Setting the table for the next game, it's not necessarily a handicap here. It's Boston, and it's it's New York. But to set the table for this one, Waka versus Tyone, 923, 924 on the rotation. This total is listed at 8.5 and a side favorite here for the Yankees at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a minus 178. But I think it comes down to, is Judge going to hit number 61 tonight in the Bronx? Waka on the mound. He's got very good splits, Mike, over the past 30 days versus right-handed batters. 72 batters that he's faced, a weighted on-base percentage of 266 and an ISO power number of 134. If we take a look at Aaron Judge, who's been incredible over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching, into the tune of a 595 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 626, as we welcome in the radio audience here on a Thursday morning on the grid, Sirius XM Channel 159, Mike Blewett and Donnie Wrightside here, going over some Major League Baseball and seeing if Aaron Judge can get 61 tonight. I'm going to put you on the spot, Mike Blewett. Is he getting 61 tonight?
Not tonight. Tomorrow night.
Oh,
I think it happens tomorrow night. I think the Yankees have caught a break here in having a bunch of home games, and I think they can be a little bit more comfortable against the Pirates with a couple of emotional wins in a row and now facing a rival who obviously is having a rough season, but a rival nonetheless. I just wonder how they fare tonight coming off the emotions of the last two games. You're going to want to get past the Judge anticipation at some point, but it isn't really going to go away. People are rooting for 61, but then they're going to be rooting for 62 in the same way. I think 73 is out of reach, but 62 is well within reach. So even if he hits one, people are going to be rooting for the next one. So this could go on for a while. They just need to continuously get good pitching because the team outside of Judge has not hit consistently for a long time now.
Yeah, let's go. All eyes on there, breaking in the coverage. Will he get the 61? We'll find out tonight. Does have some games to go. I do think he eventually, obviously, gets the 61 and surpasses Roger Maris. We'll just see how high he can actually go. Quickly on this one, 925, 926, Cleveland and the Chicago White Sox. Don't you worry, Mike Blewett. Now's the time that the Chicago White Sox turn it all around and make a charge to the playoffs. I don't think so. Bieber's on the mound as a favorite of minus 142. I got to go Cleveland in this game. I just got to go Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, puncher's chance with the White Sox. Can they do what they did? Remember the 2005 White Sox team that won it all? They were terrible for a month before the playoffs. And then they blew through the playoffs. They get the best pitching in the history of baseball in the postseason. So maybe we get a little bit of a repeat performance in late September like they did 17 years ago.
Talent doesn't equate to wins all the time. Chicago White Sox certainly talented enough to win that division, but don't look like they're even going to make the playoffs in 2022. But you know who's coming up right now? Yeah. It's time for the sports professor, Rick Haro. What do we got going on? Find out next. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on the early line, cruising through hour number two. Now it's time for some fun here. It's Mike Blewett, Donnie Wrightside, and joined now by Rick Haro, the sports professor, Sports Grid's own sports business analyst. I know he's a busy man. We are so lucky to have his time this morning. Rick, welcome into the early line.
Hey, thank you. By the way, I took a cab from the Marriott Marquis. And I happen to see this on the street. I don't know if you know, but this is the book. This is the Sport Business Handbook. This is the re-release. We're having an event tonight in Midtown Manhattan. All the Sports Grid executives will be there. It'll be produced into one of our on-the-record shows. But Gary Bettman, Zach Leonsis, and Bob Dupay, former president of Major League Baseball, are all speaking, and I'm moderating it, and we're cutting it into a tight hour-long on the record, which we'll show next week and the week after. And it's the beginning of Sport Business at 50, lessons in leadership from legends of the game. And we're going to do these in Nashville, in Miami for the NHL All-Star, in Houston for Final Four, in Arizona for Super Bowl. So we're building a brand, and Sports Grid is front and center on it. Love to thank Lou and the executives and Mike Cardano, who's an incredibly important individual, as we know. How's that?
I'm still waiting for my signed copy of Beyond the Scoreboard, but we won't hold any grudges on that right now. And this is a perfect prelude because I do know it's on Amazon here, which is fantastic. You can go out and order the book right away here. So the price is certainly fantastic. But also, talking about Amazon, Ricardo, moving forward, the NFL Thursday Night Package is on Amazon. Talk to us about how that opening week went and what the prognosis is here for the future.
If I'm the marketing director, here's what I do. I continue to stay the course. I have a couple of very interesting games. Everybody gets upset because they can't find it, especially the older folks who, you know, buy and then they say, look, what do we do with Amazon? We can't find it anywhere. They raise a ruckus. The NFL gets paid, you know, $1 billion a year, so they're going to just weather the storm. And then everybody's going to find it and say, hey, $5 to $9 a month. We're going to find it. We're going to pay for it. And the 220 million Amazon subscriptions rise to 240, 250. I will dirty little secret. One of the Rooney friends of mine who, you know, owns or obviously involved with the Steelers, he's one of the contributors to the book. So we're going out to dinner tonight after the event. He said, I can't find the game. Where do I find it? Well, look, you own the goddamn team. So darn team. Sorry. So go find it. All right. Go find it. How's that?
Perfect.
Yeah, I just think that it really only has to be incremental in the number of subscribers that they need in order for this to make any sense for them. I'm not really concerned with it. I'm with you. I think you stay the course. It's an 11-year deal, so this isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Obviously, big news in the NBA regarding the Phoenix Suns. Robert Sarver was facing a one-year suspension along with that $10 million fine. And now it seems similar to what we saw with the Carolina Panthers and Jerry Richardson, and prior to that, Donald Sterling in the LA Clippers. Robert Sarver in hot water has decided to just sell the team.
And don't forget the Atlanta Hawks guys who had that problem as well.
Correct.
And so deciding to sell the team, you put that in air quotes, because you could, under the constitutions of the respective leagues, with three-quarters vote, depending on the league, take the guy's asset away, and then you guarantee litigation for the rest of your life. Or you can say, look, why don't you sell on your own? We'll help you find a buyer, and you're going to get a big number. Donald Sterling got $2 billion, remember, from Ballmer, and Jerry Richardson got a huge number, and so did the guys from the Hawks. And so this will be no different. The fact is that this takes pressure off of the Players Association, who made this a big issue, and it was an easy issue for them to make. The Mercury sold as well, to be sold. And Phoenix has some great owners. Obviously, they've had great owners, Jerry Colangelo being, you know, one of the keys to that whole world way back when. And maybe now they'll find another owner that continues to move the Suns in the right direction. Certainly, they're better on the court than they've ever been in a long time.
Yeah, and some of that pressure also ratcheted up there, Rick, which media days are coming up, and a lot more questions are going to be asked of the NBA players in front of the camera and microphone here. Now, on the precipice of history, talking about Major League Baseball, Aaron Judge trying to tie 61 here in Roger Maris for the AL all-time lead, 62. He wears that championship crown. Two questions I have for you. Number one, the baseball and the value once it hits the seats, and also, could it be Apple TV gets the home run call and not maybe some of the Yankees broadcasters here, and not everybody can get Apple TV, apparently?
First of all, just like remember Brady and the interception, that kid intercepted the interception and then they had to get the by bribing the kid. If that happens, I'm going to Yankee Stadium. I'm going to put my arm around whoever finds it and said, hey, I just sign this piece of paper. I'll represent you. And I guarantee you the Yankees will have to pay a lot of money. We'll see how that scenario works. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that are trying to figure that one out now, too. And so, second, when does he hit it? Well, I'm glad he didn't hit him last night. I had a premonition. I had tickets, but I also had tickets to Beetlejuice, and I decided to do the Renaissance Man thing. By the way, Beetlejuice is a great play on Broadway. You ought to go see it. So I did that, and I had no harm, no foul, because no home run. If Apple gets the game, and that's the only place it's on, it's the same kind of thing as we just talked about with Amazon, which is everybody in a furor because nobody sees it. Well, sign up for Apple.
So I'm going to get a little selfish here with my question because, Rick, you and I have done some sports business shows in the past. And to those people out there that don't know, I spent 20 years in sports business as well. And part of it in the streaming industry. And right. Steve Pagliuca, the co-owner of the Boston Celtics, has been named chairman of the board of DeltaTray, which is a company I bumped into all the time. So what is the significance of this? You sometimes figure, all right, this guy's he's owning sports teams. Why would he jump back into the mix with a technology provider?
Because a technology provider is the key to universal and some unique content, basically through the end of time. And again, promoting the event for tonight. The Leonsis family, you know, AOL and Zach Leonsis and his dad, Ted, look at what Monument Sports has done, which is the Wizards, the Capitals, the WNBA team, a variety of holdings, but they also own the arena, and they own the company that also streams. So bringing all of that in-house is very important. You know that because of your time in the business. And to the extent you can develop that relationship, like Steve and the Celtics, then you're ahead of the game, and that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, some big news coming out for the Celtics a little bit later on about a coaching, you know, maybe possible suspension. But if we swing this over, Rick, over to college football, one of the bigger moves there was Nebraska moving on from Scott Frost and now contacting Urban Meyer. Must be endless bags out there for cash because Frost got a lot of money to go away. And if you're talking to Urban Meyer, you're looking for a lot more money going his way there. Talk about maybe what's going to take place out there in Nebraska.
Why? Because Urban Meyer has had such a marvelous recent tenure with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Is that why the guy gets the money? Obviously, his idea is the Saban-esque line, which is, I'm not a pro coach. Don't ask me to be a pro coach. I'm a college coach. I was good at Bowling Green. I was good at Utah. I was good at Ohio State. So pay me a lot of money here. I'm not sure that's real, but I do know this, that they're meeting today about relegating the University of Nebraska. They're going to play minor league football somewhere in the middle of the country until they get their act together. And I know I'm kidding, but it's not so far from the truth, ladies and gentlemen.
And Rick, we only have a few more moments left with you. We need more books. We need more books. Show it again. Let us know where you can get it and what you're doing out there.
Amazon, Human Kinetics. We're going to give away a lot of them tonight. We got a lot of people coming. We're going to have these events all over the country. It's a labor of love for me. And bottom line is that it has a lot of people in it. Steve Ross, Jack Nicklaus, Paul Tagliabue, obviously Gary Bettman, Senator George Mitchell, a lot of others who are very important in the business. And so you ought to get it. You ought to look at it. It gives you some interesting perspective on the entire business. And because it's so important, I'm taking a break. I'm here in New York. Love this place. Go watch these guys when you get back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Thursday morning on the Early Line, Sirius XM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's Mike Blewett, Donnie Wrightside today having some fun. Back to the gridiron. In the next segment here, we're going to tackle some odds for the football game tonight on Thursday Night Football, have some fun with some props, but also let's take the binoculars out, Mike Blewett, and say, hey, can we see week 17, week 18 down the line and what we think is going to take place? Let's have some fun with this. The AFC Championship odds. And as I said, we have a long way to go. We're through 2 weeks, but it never stops us from saying, you know what? That looks like a Super Bowl contender right there. And if we start with the AFC, the Buffalo Bills at a plus 240 price to win the AFC, followed by the Kansas City Chiefs at a plus 360. Fellow running mate out there in the AFC West, the Chargers at a plus 850, Ravens 950, Broncos, another AFC West team at 12-1, followed by the Miami Dolphins at 13-1. It's really hard after 2 weeks, and what we sort of thought about the Buffalo Bills before the season even started is how good they're going to be. But a 240 price, I guess, you know, value's in the eye of the beholder here because it's not a great price. But boy, oh boy, Mike, looks like a great football team.
They are great, and I have expectations for them to go to the Super Bowl. But I did say on this show and others that I didn't think – I thought you should only dedicate a portion of what you wanted to bet on the Bills before the season because I thought it's possible that you could get a better price later. You're always at risk of the Bills blowing through the league like they're starting to do and the price never getting better. But I would just note, they're on the road at Miami. It's probably going to be hot down there. Weird things happen in Miami in September. Then they're at the Ravens. If they can possibly stay healthy, that's a challenging game. They have the Steelers at home. That's probably not going to be a challenge. But then they're at Kansas City before the bye, and then they have the Packers. So there are a bunch of games coming up. Four of those teams that I mentioned are playoff teams, we think. Miami, Baltimore, Kansas City, and the Packers. So they're not, if they go through this and they're undefeated after that stretch, I mean, call it early, because it'll only be injuries that knock them off of their pedestal. I just would say that I think they could drop a couple of games here in the next month. You might get a little bit better price than plus 240.
If we take a look at this market, sticking with the AFC, you know, who's going to win the championship there and advance to the Super Bowl, are there any teams that we're possibly overlooking at this point? Because there are some large numbers out there outside of the Buffalo Bills and the, you know, top four or top five that we were talking about. The Denver Broncos sitting at that 12-1. I thought they would be much better already off the bat. Played terribly against Seattle. If they just held on to the football, would have won that game easy. Down in the fourth quarter at home in your home opener versus the Houston Texans. Not a good look here. But even farther down, the Indianapolis Colts, who don't have a win on the season, are at 20-1. There's plenty of time for these teams to turn it around. And it's not necessarily like college football, just have the best record. Win some football games and see where you wind up. You still can get to the Super Bowl if you are a wild card team. You don't have to have the number one overall seed. Anybody down the charts here, maybe the Browns getting back to Sean Watson or the Titans resurge there at 24-1. Who are you looking at as maybe a longer shot here worthwhile?
Yeah, we'll throw the odds back up too, so everybody can see them. But I would say that the Colts, what's been disturbing about the Colts is Matt Ryan goes from Atlanta, where he's getting annihilated because of an offensive line that can't block, to a Colts offensive line that we thought was going to be much, much better, and it isn't. He's been getting his teeth kicked in for another couple of games. They're going to have to shore that up for this offense to do anything. If your quarterback, it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. If you're not protecting him, then the offense can't run effectively. As far as those teams down the line, I would say keep an eye on the Colts if they're able to block Matt Ryan. I don't think they have the goods to compete with the Bills and some of the elite teams in the AFC, but I think as their odds get a little longer to win the division, I think those are the types of things you want to look at. But down the list a little bit, it's the Dolphins. If Mike McDaniel, first of all, early is getting high grades. They're 2-0. They're getting Waddle and Hill in space, which is exactly how this team is structured. It doesn't matter what you think of Tua. If he can get the ball to them accurately, they're going to have a billion yards this year. But if McDaniel has put this team really in a position week in, week out to play offense like they were able to play in the fourth quarter and at other times during the season, they're going to be in really good shape. They're not going to beat the Bills for the division, but when it comes to the playoffs, it's just a one-game deal. So I think the Miami Dolphins are really interesting. Plus, they do have talent on defense. Two great corners, Chris, and a lot of other players there that have contributed. I think it's a really good team when they're playing right.
Yeah, Byron Jones and the boy was trying to lock it down at the defensive end. Great, you know, reviews so far, even from the offseason through the first two games of that offense. Struggled a little bit against New England, but they didn't have to do all that much. Certainly didn't struggle in the fourth quarter versus the Baltimore Ravens. How about if I told you the Cleveland Browns, Mike, 24-1? Could I sell you on those if they're around a game, maybe a game or two above 500 when Deshaun Watson comes back? That's where the value would kick in. Because as I said, it's not who has the best record at the regular season. It's who actually wins the AFC championship. Is there a chance that the Browns, if they stay healthy and get Deshaun Watson, could challenge at a good price there at 24-1?
I understand you saying that, and I understand people that are saying, it's a really good price. Because the roster, as we all evaluated for months, is really good. Apparently, I mean, realistically as good as any in the AFC North. But I just have an issue with, if they hover around 500 or say they're 6-5 after when he shows up, do we think he can just turn it on right away? He's going to be away from the team. For him to turn it on, could they be more, if they made the playoffs, could they be more dangerous in the playoffs than a typical 7 seed, just hypothetically? Yeah, I think they could be. I think that's where they would be dangerous. But I just wonder if hoping Deshaun Watson turns it on as soon as he comes back, I think that's a little bit too much to ask for. He hasn't played football in a really long time.
No, you're right about that. Yeah, you're right, because it's not as if he's the only bonus, I guess you could say, Mike, he's not coming back from injury, right? Ooh, let's see how he looks after his knee injury coming back in week 11. He is going to be healthy, but he's going to have to learn on the fly, and we don't anticipate this being a Browns team by the time he gets back, like 8 wins at that point. So it is going to be a little harder to do, but maybe some underlying value if he does come back and play as well. Should be fun to watch down the stretch. Let's flip it over to the NFC, which there are some teams surging up the board. One of those teams, the Philadelphia Eagles, now sitting at 5-1, just behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at a +310 price. The Green Bay Packers also sitting here, Mike, at a 5-1 price, followed by the Rams at +650, 49ers at +850, and the Vikings at +950. The upper echelon teams here in the NFC. Number one, do you agree it should be the Buccaneers by almost a $2 price over the Eagles, or are you looking maybe for some value behind them?
I think it's too much for me. I think the Bucs are a really good team, absolutely can compete for the NFC crown, but I like the Eagles and the Packers just as much as I like the Bucs. Of the teams that are down the list a little bit, I don't think it's a wide pool in the NFC. I think it's those three teams. I think you could throw the Niners in there, but as you start to look down the list at the Cardinals and the Saints and those types of teams, I don't think they have a real chance to win the NFC title. The Rams can, obviously, if everything comes together like it did last year, but I think that's asking a lot. I think the Niners are a very talented team. You can have all the doubt you want in Jimmy G, but they have won an NFC crown with him, and they nearly won a second one. So down the list a little bit, it's the Niners, but it's not very far down the list. And as far as the second column there, I just don't really see any true dark horses in the NFC. I think the Cardinals, the Saints, and those other teams have a lot of flaws in them.
Yeah, and those numbers could switch a little bit this weekend as we see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Green Bay Packers. So they only play one time, not being division rivals. So that should line up where one of these guys that wins, you get the extra bonus by having a tiebreaker in your pocket here, possibly getting home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs here. Let's flip it over here and talk a little bit of Super Bowl odds, because in the outright betting market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Mike, Buffalo Bills coming in at a +450 price. When I took my option here at the last, Wednesday before football season started, 6-1 price here for the Buffalo Bills. So they have improved because they've given us nothing to tell us, like, hey, man, this might be a little bit tougher than we thought. They've been rolling over the Rams, rolling over the Titans. We'll see if they can do it to a pretty good Miami Dolphins team this weekend. Second choice here, Kansas City Chiefs, 7-1. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 7-1. The Philadelphia Eagles now at 13-1, along with the Green Bay Packers, the same price, and the Chargers at 15-1. You're not getting a lot of value in the Buffalo Bills, but it is early. But I did agree, though, with what you said a segment ago, Mike, talking about, well, if the Bills are at a 6-1 price, I'd like to get a little bit longer. All you were really hoping for maybe was a Rams victory opening night, and you would have gotten a better price. Now, that didn't happen, and the Buffalo Bills rolled, and here we sit at that +450.
Yeah, you're going to need to hope for a couple of more losses the way they're playing. I don't really see it happening, but anybody can lose on the road to a divisional opponent. So I wouldn't be stunned by a Miami win this weekend, but the Bills playing better than anybody. Can I throw a curveball on this Bills question? We'll get back to the Super Bowl odds.
Yep.
What do you think Sean McDermott has to do to win Coach of the Year? Or can he? Is there any chance for him?
It's a shame because he gets held back from me because we're expecting his team to go to the Super Bowl, and a lot of times that doesn't work. But I got to tell you, if they 15-2, that will get him Coach of the Year, which is ridiculous.
I have that. I have that bet at 30-1, and that's what I'm hoping for, 15-2. Yep. So I just thought it was a good value because I thought they're going to be the best team. I know coaches don't get credit, but Matt LaFleur again, come on. We're not giving it to him.
Matt LaFleur back up here. How about Brandon Staley, Kevin Walsh's favorite coach in NFL Brian history? Dable. See if he could take it down. But you know what? Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of coaches we can certainly talk about at that end as well. But next up here, we're going to talk Thursday night football and see if we could pick out some winners. Sides, totals, weekly specials, prop bets. We got you covered. Make sure you keep it right here on the Early Line on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, right back at it here for the early line. Thursday morning, time to talk some Thursday night football. Who loves football? Yeah, we love football here on the Sports Grid Network. Mike Blewett, Donnie Wrightside. Let's have some fun with this one. Line changes, Mike Blewett, at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We opened up the show talking about fours. They have now dropped to 3.5 at a minus 118 price on the Cleveland Browns. Before we get into this game any further, thoughts here, Mike, on that change? Agree with it? Agree it should be going lower?
I think it probably should be going lower only because, like you and I talked about an hour ago, yeah, the Steelers perform well in these spots. Mike Tomlin does. The Steelers do. They've been underdog in all three games now this season. And they effectively pushed last week, and they won the game outright as an underdog a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, it's coming down a little bit tighter. I think everybody realizes now Stefanski is 1-11 against divisional opponents against the spread. So, yeah, it's going to get a little bit tighter, and people may be seeing this as closer to a field goal game.
Yeah, and trying to take a look at also the weather conditions here, broken down by quarter. It looks like the kickoff, 60 degrees, Mike, but also sustained winds, it looks like, right around 18 to 20 miles an hour throughout this football game. So maybe, yeah, maybe field position, I should say, could make a big difference. Let's have some fun with this one and get into it. Total still listed at 38.5. We'll see where that one goes if anybody's buying in, or, as we always know, the live shots from Cleveland where they stand on the sideline. If anybody's papers, Mike, are blowing around on the desk, people go into a panic here, as there's no way they can throw the football forward. If we take a look at some prop bets in this game, anytime touchdown score, who do we look first and foremost to? Nick Chubb at a minus 110 price, cashed in that ticket fairly easily last week. Najee Harris, the Pittsburgh Steelers running back, at a plus 145. Kareem Hunt at a plus 170. Then we get to the wide receivers, Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson, tight end Pratt Freiermuth. Anywhere we're looking, is it just so easy? You know what? You get inside the five, Nick Chubb's getting those carries. I'll cash that ticket at a minus 110. Who are you looking forward to tonight in watching in this market?
I mean, the odds make sense. He's the most bankable. I think you'd probably, if you want Kareem Hunt, you're hoping they're throwing a little swing pass inside the 10-yard line so he can scamper into the end zone. On a week-to-week basis, I don't think the Steelers are going to score many points. So the red zone targets are going to continue to evolve in an interesting way. I will just say that generally, I do like Freiermuth in this market. I think Trubisky has a safety blanket with Pat Freiermuth. He used him last week to score a touchdown. I think over the course of the season, I think he can cash some Freiermuth touchdown scoring tickets. But given that he scored one last week, and I don't expect this team to score a lot of points in general, I don't know that the touchdown market for the Steelers is my favorite. But Najee and Pat Freiermuth would top my list.
Yeah, I tell you what's interesting, too, because I love the prop market. And the prop market is a lot more fun, Mike, when the total's not 38.5 and it's closer to 48.5. Great. Because you're anticipating a lot of touchdowns. If we're looking here, the interesting ones to me to open the season are how many times the quarterbacks are getting a legitimate chance to score. If looking in the anytime touchdown market today, Jacoby Brissett, somewhat mobile quarterback, a 6-1 price. Just to put that in perspective, Monday Night Football, Jalen Hurts, plus 110 to score a touchdown. And then if we take a look at Mitchell Trubisky, plus 950, ball on the 1-yard line, you call play action pass, and they get boot keep, you can walk into the end zone. So if you bet both of those guys, there might be a chance that if one of those scores, you're going to pull yourself down a pretty nice ticket. Now, also tonight, as we talk about struggling offenses, Mike Blewett, let me ask you this question. The Cleveland defense, plus 750 to score a touchdown, and also the Pittsburgh defense at a 9-1 price. Pick six, fumble sack, ball's loose, they go the other way. Any looks for that market here tonight for you?
It's such a tempting market. Any game you look at every week, it's such a tempting market, but your odds are really low. So even as long as 750 and 900 look, and if you're like, oh, I just need a little scoop and score, that's a tough one. I don't bet into that market very often, even when it looks like a juicy prop, especially on the Brown side because of Trubisky. But I'll probably stay away from that. One market I do like is pass attempts. We're talking about wind and a low-scoring game. I think we're going to see a lot of rushing attempts out of Chubb and Harris. And Trubisky at 31.5. For him to throw 32 times, it means the Steelers will have to be trailing by a lot for the majority of the game. And based on how we think this game is going to play out, I don't think they'll be that far out of it, even if they lose. Are they ever going to be down by more than 10? I don't know. I think this can be a relatively close game, even if they don't get the win. I don't think the Steelers want Mitch Trubisky throwing it 32, 33 times.
How about this one? This is a rarity in the NFL. I mean, this is an Army-Navy squaring up where you might get, you know, 3 to 4 passes in an entire game. Take a look at the passing prop market here between these two quarterbacks, Mike. Mitchell Trubisky, Jacoby Brissett. Both of them under 200 yards. If we want to be exact right now, Mitchell Trubisky, 191.5. Jacoby Brissett, 181.5. My goodness, you can trip over and get at least 150 yards in a football game. It's like when you take your SATs, they give you a couple hundred points if you spell your name correctly. Both of these quarterbacks, are we actually looking at the betting markets for you, Mike? If I said, I'm going to give you free plays here. Are you taking under on both of these quarterbacks? What's your thoughts on that extremely low number for both of these guys?
I like the under on Mitch. Even though he's got better playmakers, I do like the under on Mitch. I think the under on the pass attempts is probably my favorite there. So under 31.5 minus 114 on Mitch Trubisky pass attempts. But no, I do not think Mitch has 192 passing yards tonight. It would take one of the playmakers that he has to break one. Entirely possible. But yeah, I just don't think they want to play it like that. So it's frustrating. They're playing a style of football that does not lead to a lot of wins. It doesn't really matter who the QB is, but the QB isn't helping.
Yeah, not a lot of wins, not a lot of points here, because that's a direct derivative here of the passing touchdown market tonight in this game. And again, just to put it in perspective, Monday Night Football, if you wanted to take Josh Allen over 1.5 touchdown passes, you're paying a minus 250 price. Take a look at these two guys tonight. Mitchell Trubisky to throw over 1.5 touchdowns in layman's terms, throw two of them, plus 210. And again, Jacoby Brissett, throw two touchdowns tonight, a plus 190 price. As you just said, they're going to be looking to run the football here. Any chances where you just say, I'm just going to take both of these guys at plus 210 and plus 190 and live with it? Or is this one of those games you might be looking at the half? Neither one of them even have a touchdown pass.
I don't think it'll be that ugly. That would be pretty depressing. So I don't think it'll be that ugly. I think either guy could get it in there. I could throw a 5-yard touchdown pass to a Freiermuth or a Harrison Bryant or something along those lines. So I think that of all of these, we mentioned the pass attempts, obviously will be down. I don't think the yardage, I think they have a chance to get the yardage, but I don't think Mitch gets there. I just wonder the best.
It's bad etiquette to gloat after winning.
We get it. You're excited.
But chest bumping a cop on the way home is a bad idea. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
These offenses sputter. So I think we could be at, like, you know, 6-6 late in the second quarter. Wouldn't surprise me. This is a 20-14 final, something like that is what I'm anticipating.
Yeah, punting might be your best friend tonight. Talk about the player receiving
yards. Yeah, let's go over on punts.
Nobody. Yeah, how about that? Exactly. We'll get to the kicker props here. Let's go, you know, 6.5 as a kicker's points tonight. Maybe some chip shot field goals. Maybe it's tougher to make extra points tonight. There's a lot of different ways that betting market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But receiving props tonight, nobody over 60 yards tonight. Quite frankly, nobody over 57 yards tonight. Deontay Johnson, the leader in the clubhouse at the FanDuel Sportsbook, yardage at 56.5. I know you talked about Pat Freiermuth. He's listed at over 34.5. Some looks here. Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. One screen pass. Can he get it? 15.5 yards. Donovan Peoples-Jones, 29.5. And Amari Cooper, the best wide receiver here, we figure, on the Cleveland Browns. He's listed at 49.5, so 50 will cash that ticket. How about this market tonight? Are we just looking and saying, you know what? Pat Freiermuth might be the best way to go for you.
You know what's depressing is that Chase Claypool's in the third year of his career, and he's got a receiving prop that says 37.5.
Terrible.
He's a second-round pick. And 37.5 is his receiving prop. It should be double that every week based on his talent and everything else. Deontay Johnson is how the passing offense funnels. So if they can just complete a bunch of passes, he's going for what is the number? I want to see for his 15th game in a row with five plus catches. So he gets to that mark every week. I think that's a number you can look as well. 56 and a half. He could be right around there, but let me see. His receptions prop is 5.5. So 15th game in a row, this would be for, with him getting to at least five. So can he get to six? Six for 57. That's what we're looking at for both overs. I think that's reasonable.
Here we go. Let's get to those rushing prop markets here tonight. Mitchell Trubisky, how about that as a quarterback? 12.5. We'll see if he can get loose out of the pocket here. Nick Chubb, 84.5. So finally, a legitimate number that we could take a look at between the wide receivers and the running backs. Najee Harris coming in right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 54.5. And Kareem Hunt at 42.5. We know Nick Chubb's going to get his. But again, two really good defenses that are anticipating both of these offenses running the football. I am always, Mike Blewett, intrigued by the quarterback props here. 12.5. Just feels like if Trubisky can get loose twice, he should be able to get that. But are we just going to look for the leaders in the clubhouse, as we like to say? Najee with 54.5 and Nick Chubb at 84.5.
If he can run away from Myles Garrett for 13 yards, I'm in favor of it because he might get killed. Otherwise, Najee, I think, gets enough carries to get there. I think it can be an ugly night. I think it could be 17 for 60, and he's still going to get you there. So the Chubb prop keeps creeping up week over week, Donnie, where he's hitting it, and he could probably hit it again tonight, but the number starts to get a little scarier. Oddly, I think I like the Najee over a little bit more than the Chubb over, just because the number is markedly lower.
Now, having some fun with these prop bets here under the specials market, particularly the red zone specials here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So much fun. And these game specials, the reason why they're so high tonight is we don't anticipate a lot of scoring. How about this one here? Nick Chubb, Najee Harris, Amari Cooper, and Deontay Johnson to combine for three or more touchdowns tonight. It's at a plus 230 number, which means Chubb can get two, Najee Harris gets one. You cash that without even Amari Cooper or Deontay Johnson scoring. Nick Chubb gets all four, you cash that ticket in, or all three, you cash that ticket in already. Another one I'm looking at tonight, and I'm a glutton for punishment here. Seems so easy to hit. One rushing touchdown, Mike Blewett, and one passing touchdown per team tonight. If that happens, a plus 650. So to put that in layman's terms, Chubb and Najee Harris each rush one in. Amari Cooper and Deontay Johnson each catch a touchdown pass. You cash that in. That's typically around that market of plus 250 to plus 300. It's double tonight because we're not anticipating some actual touchdowns happening. But I got a feeling I might be in that betting market. Any fun specials or weekly game specials for you tonight that you might be looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook?
I always appreciate your dedication to the one touchdown, one field goal in each half.
I'm a dedicated man.
At 22-1, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, this could be ugly. I just said I think the game's going to be 20-14, 20-17. I know there's going to be field goals. The only risk is the wind. I mean, is the wind going to be so bad that we're missing field goals? Then we've got a problem. But at 22-1, let's fire it.
I like it, and I agree with it. I like a little bit of money for a lot of fun in games tonight. We'll see what happens here. Well, the one thing I do want to do is thank Mike Blewett for rising and grinding with us this morning on the early line, a true professional on the network. Thank you, Mike Blewett. Good luck in the rest of your day and your gambling tonight. But we got a lot more to go over here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. How about this? Final segment of the day for a Thursday here on the Sports Grid Network for the early line. Both myself, Mike Blewett, and Donnie Wrightside, 7 to 9 a.m., setting the table before handing it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. And as we like to say, the rest of your Sports Grid Sports Day. There was a lot of hot topics that we went over and also some interesting information to keep an eye out for in the NBA. Sale, maybe, for the Suns, but more importantly here, head coach Ime Udoka for the Boston Celtics, and the fallout and salacious details might be on the way. But before we do that, one thing I do love in football, yes, Thursday Night Football with college and professional ranks, but I love trash talking here. And there was some pretty good trash talk yesterday that you shouldn't apologize for. So listen up. Quiet. What's wrong with a little trash talk? Apparently, it's a little bit too much here for Mac Brown and UNC. Why is that? Quarterback Drake May for the Tar Heels said, quote, "I didn't want to miss out on the home state. Growing up in Carolina, you're going to be a Carolina fan. Some people may say state, but really people who go to state just can't get into Carolina. Now I had to come back and apologize for that, but I like that. It's what keeps it fresh. And normally you would say to yourself, it's a big rivalry game this week, and that's why these guys are talking trash. It's not even rivalry week here. They're playing Notre Dame. So the fact that he's taking shots at the state school is sensational stuff. We're built on the trash talk. This is bulletin board material. It's fun. It's the way sports are supposed to be. Now, he wasn't going out and making it really personal. He was just taking a shot. Whether it's true or not, it's fun to read about and lets these kids know that when they meet on the gridiron, they can settle their differences between the lines, have some fun, score some touchdowns. And if it comes back that Carolina drubs NC State, then he'll get the one up. But NC State can say, yeah, the reason why I didn't go to Carolina because you have a bad football team, and we pasted you this year. Come on now. Let Drake May of UNC have some fun and talk a little smack here. Now it's time to hand it over to Ben Stevens and the Morning After to continue your Sports Grid day. I had a lot of fun on the show this morning. A lot more to get after. Tomorrow, it's a Football Friday on the Early Line. Come on back in.